the good liars.
The good liars?
This is boring.
We're boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the good liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell the truth. And today, we're going to be talking, it's really an age-old question at this point. It's a question we asked years and years ago, is Donald Trump boring? Is he boring?
Right.
We'll get into, you know, our history with the subject matter here, which some of you all may know. But before we get into it, we want to remind you, you can support us on Hero Hero. There's a link in the description, herohero.co/thegoodliars. You'll be supporting us for just $5 a month, helping us to go to all these terrible places that we go to. But first, DeVrom, last week we were at the DNC. We did a podcast every day from there.
One of the many truths we'll discuss today, no doubt. That is true. We were at the DNC in Chicago all last week.
But let's talk about something that wasn't true, that we talked about last week, which was that Beyonce was going to be performing the final night of the DNC. And you could almost picture it. She was either going to like come out and sing Vice President Kamala Harris to the stage with her campaign theme song, her wrestling theme song, as I like to say, or at the end, after the balloons dropped, she was going to be the big surprise guest and the crowd was going to go wild. Did you feel let down when she didn't come out? Are you a member of the Beehive?
I mean, I was going to say I'm not a member of the Beehive typically. I respect what she does, but she's not someone I think about that often. But I couldn't help but get swept up into it. It was all week. It was like on Monday, a few rumors. On Tuesday, more. Wednesday, a ton. Thursday, it was all but certain. So
it was
I couldn't
confirmed.
Help but get swept up into it.
Yeah. It was confirmed to us by multiple people there. They're like,
yes.
No, this is happening, guys. Just prepare yourself mentally, physically, because this is going to happen. Queen Bee's going to be here.
Physically, yeah.
Physically, yeah.
Get ready physically.
I was like thinking I was going to be screaming. I was going to be like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then when Taylor Swift came out after it, I was going to be like, I was going to lose my mind.
It was going to blow your mind. I remember someone specifically saying that they had confirmation that Taylor Swift's jet had landed. It just felt real at that point in time. It felt like, why say that if you're not sure? Why say that if it's not true?
Right.
But
right.
With
well,
the benefit of hindsight.
There was a HuffPost report this week, and I guess they sourced this from the Hollywood Reporter, but the director, Glenn Weiss, who was responsible for the entertainment during the convention, revealed on Monday that Beyonce was never scheduled to perform. This is a quote from him. The internet, this is the internet taking on a life of its own and people taking something as fact, literally to the point that people in my booth are saying, quote, is she coming? You can tell me. And I would say, I have no knowledge that she's coming. And then they would say, no knowledge? So there's something to know? It was pretty crazy, he said. And then he finished by saying, but she wasn't coming. In the end, even TMZ, which had reported it, had to issue an apology. So I didn't even realize TMZ had reported that. So that's news to me.
Oh, yeah, I was hearing. Really, I thought you and I had talked about that. But yeah, that was the big thing, is that they had to like issue a retraction. And it's just so much anticipation that I have to say I was convinced, and it was through no actual information. It was just a repetition of the rumor, and that goes to show how the human brain just operates. After a while, you just get told something over and over again. Why would it be made up? Why would it be a complete fabrication?
Are you kind of, I don't know, empathizing with Trump supporters who we talk to all the time who say the 2020 election was stolen? Do you kind of feel for them now? You understand how this got into their brain a little bit?
Well, that's what I was hinting at a little bit, but not so much Trump supporters, it's everybody. But then when you have like kind of a malicious force that knows that has a big microphone that can repeat stuff, then I think you start to feel like you're talking about Trump supporters, but like with the election denial and all that. So I think we're all susceptible to it when you have this like shameless entertainer who wants to stay in the news and stay out of jail. I think he knows what he's doing.
Oh, he okay. I thought you were talking about Beyonce there for a second. I was going to say you're calling her shameless.
I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, like, I mean, do you have any strong feelings about Beyonce that would lead you to come to that conclusion?
No, I was just had a flashback though to we were talking to Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, and he was like, "I don't think an endorsement would sway an election," and then we were like, "So you don't think you're saying you don't care what Taylor Swift says about things?" And he had to kind of walk back a little bit.
Right.
There.
He had to rethink that for a moment. We framed it with the question being that, you know, is Kamala in trouble being is that she doesn't have the big Kid Rock endorsement?
Yes.
We kind of put him in a situation there.
Yes, yes, yes. He was a super nice guy, by the way. BT Dubs, mm-hmm. Super nice guy. Before we get into the main topic, another big news story. RFK Jr., who we've talked about several times, who of course is famous for taking a dead bear carcass into Central Park and making it seem like a bear was hit by a bicycle there. He endorsed Donald Trump and dropped out of the race. What was your immediate reaction to that, DeBrum?
My immediate reaction was that, you know, Democrats have been having a field day calling Donald Trump weird, calling J.D. Vance weird. It's been this fun thing that Democrats have kind of gotten behind, just a fun way to kind of lighten the load of this threat to democracy and just kind of lean into the weird thing. And Trump's response to bring in the dead bear guy was incredible. Just like, if you want people to know that you're sane and that you're normal, then this is a weird time to bring in RFK Jr., who seems to be anything but those things.
Yes.
Yeah, just getting people to think about the dead bear debauchery at a time like this was very funny to me.
And I want to ask, because I've been thinking about this, and it, like this was like trending on Twitter too. People were talking about this because she released a statement. Cheryl Hines, huge fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm, have been for a very long time. What do you think's going through her brain right now? Obviously, she has been anti-Trump.
Right.
Like, she said that.
He mentioned her when he was like announcing his campaign, right? Like what? And when he was announcing his campaign, he couldn't read the teleprompter. It was upside down or something like that. And we were saying, what a Curb moment. Kind of what
I can't
a
read the fucking teleprompter.
Yeah,
the
he's like, I can't read this.
He didn't say that, but that would be Larry David doing it. Yeah.
But he basically, a kind of a Curb moment in the beginning and the end of this campaign, just like shaking hands with Donald Trump after this dead bear / Peter Luger steakhouse / Roseanne Barr whirlwind
so wild.
It's so weird that this is like the most important stuff happening. I don't know what she must think of it, but whatever state of mind she's in now is similar probably to where she's been, that this is like this campaign has like taken a kind of small but like central role nonetheless in the conversation of this election.
He comes home and she's just like, Robert, did you endorse Donald Trump? Robert, what are you doing?
Right.
It just turns into Curb. He's like, what are you talking about? I thought you said it didn't matter what I did.
I should do it. I said I didn't care if you did or not because we were arguing, Robert.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, it's wild. Also, what do you think about him seemingly offering his endorsement to either campaign that would take him in? I mean, I don't know that that's been totally confirmed, but it's... seems kind of confirmed, right? The campaign said it.
Yeah, the Harris campaign was like he was feeling around for somebody to get the endorsement and then get the maybe a cabinet position, which is just wild.
What do you think about that for this like anti-establishment candidate to kind of like ask if whoever will take me, I'll endorse?
Okay, anti-establishment, yes, but can we can't forget right now he ran as a Democrat. Like, he was running as a Democrat before he became an independent candidate. Like, he was running as a Democrat, like, being like, I want to this to be the future of the Democratic Party. So it's just wild that not only would you run as a Democrat and then endorse Donald Trump, but trying to get a cabinet position. People are saying now he's working on the transition team with Tulsi, that they're going to be co-chairs of it. And it's RFK Jr. It's the bear guy. It's just, the whole thing is wild to me. The whole thing's wild to me.
Yeah, it really is. It just, I feel like all of it undercuts, though, any of the serious, however seriously he was trying to be taken with, like, his views on things and him having some sort of clarity of mind and of purpose to, like, do things that the other two parties couldn't. He's just asked either of them if they'd take him in. That's just not the way to go down if you're that candidate, it feels like.
The thing that's maybe most wild about this to me is that it's, RFK Jr. has been like a real environmental activist and has talked about the dangers of climate change. And he endorsed a guy who is saying climate change is a hoax. Like, that is like where it's like, where are the morals of all this?
Where are the
convictions? Just the guy who said yes, the convictions. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
I hadn't thought of it through that lens. Yeah, his whole thing. The part of the River Keepers Association for like decades.
That sounds like it's a militia.
the river keepers. The keepers of the river.
Yeah,
Nobody's allowed near that river. But thinking of it through that lens, it's even more stark. It's like, yeah, you care so much about the environment, you just endorse the like deregulation, climate change is a hoax guy.
So he's going to, if Trump wins, which let's just be honest, it's really still a strong possibility now. I know everyone's riding high off their own supply at the DNC, but it's, you know, it's a coin flip election right now. Even though Harris is ahead in a lot of the national polls, it's still really, really close margin, within the margin of error in all the swing states. Where do you see RFK in the Trump cabinet? You think he's going to have something to do with how our country gets healthy, considering he's a super anti-vax guy? Like, that's what people are saying.
Anti-vax guy, but you've got me thinking about his connection to the environment. If he cared about any of those things, he would constantly be clashing with Trump. I don't know. It doesn't feel like he would follow through on it, given that he just endorsed Trump. But I don't know. I can't imagine Trump wants any voices in his cabinet that are going to be fighting him on anything. I think he learned his lesson, whatever that lesson was, that he didn't want detractors around him. So I don't know.
It could be some 5D chess going on here where he's going to try and have something with the environment, some cabinet post that's actually going to make the U.S. cleaner and stop the burning of all the fossil fuels. But I think Donald Trump's getting too much money from big oil to make that actually happen, right? Like, that's not, he wouldn't let that.
No, I mean, it feels that way. I just also think Donald Trump is going for broke here. He's not going to surround himself with anybody that's going to tell him no or push back, RFK Jr. included. So,
right. Last thing on RFK. You remember right before, and it might have been when we were in Milwaukee for the RNC, that video was released of him on the phone. I think we watched this together, right? He was on the phone with Trump and somebody was recording it and put it out.
His son, right? Or his
son. Oh, was it his son? Oh, okay. And it was like, Trump was like, I've seen the things, like some people, they take a vaccine and bad things happen. They happen. It's really bad. It's really bad.
So
he's like trying to like think of some anti-vax thing he heard like at one
point.
Right,
and it doesn't matter. That's the thing with him. It's like he actually talks the way he talks in his rallies behind closed doors too. It's just hard to imagine having like respect for him and his opinions when that's how he, like, yes, he couldn't even come up with anything, but he was like, I'm just gonna tell this guy about the vaccine stuff he wants to
hear.
We're on the same page, very scary folks.
It's really, really scary. But let's get into the meat of this episode, just the prime meat. I think it's prime, right? This is prime meat that we're going to be talking about right now.
Are you going to talk about is Donald Trump boring?
Oh yeah, that's the meat of the episode here.
That's the meat.
Let's go back in time to January 2016. DeVram and I traveled from New York City to Windham, New Hampshire to see Donald Trump for the very first time. We stood in line for hours, and then we waited for Donald Trump to speak, and then listened to Donald Trump repeat claims that we'd heard 100 times and his catchphrases, and even air his grievances at a country club. It was very, very boring. It was a very, very boring speech, and we told him so. We yelled it, DeVram. And just thinking back on that now.
This is boring.
We're bored.
Tell some jokes. This is
something. Entertain us.
Were there any warning signs there about Donald Trump and being boring? We yelled it at him. What were your thoughts when we did that? The very first thing, well, maybe the second thing we did with Donald Trump.
Well, I have a different sometimes outlook on these political events where I'm kind of like, by the time the speaker, the person who's holding the rally gets up there, and especially with Donald Trump, he's always super late. He always has several people speaking before him. We were definitely actually bored. We had waited a couple hours in line in the freezing cold beforehand. It was just too much like preamble for a guy who was going to talk about such boring stuff. So even when he would talk about, you know, his catchphrases and his greatest hits kind of stuff, like you mentioned, which kind of got the crowd going, but we had heard all that before. But not only that, he was talking about, like, I had a burger with a guy at a golf club. It was a good burger. It's a nice golf club.
It was a good burger. And then he starts reading. I just remember he's up there, and we hadn't seen him before. And I just remember both of us, like, he looked like purple almost under the lights. Like, he looked so odd.
A beautiful hue. Purple.
Yeah, so weird. Right. And he even looked like an old man even then, you know, like, it's just like, this is an old man up there, and he put his reading glasses on, and he was like reading a note from some guy, and no one in the audience, he was airing his grievances at this one like reporter or Republican person, Republican in New Hampshire. Nobody there had any idea what he was talking about, but they kind of like were like clapping because he's a showman, and he would like let you know when you're supposed to laugh or applaud or something like that. So yeah, it was boring.
And then he started reading poll numbers, right? He just random polls, just reading and being
bingo.
I'm beating
bingo.
Ted Cruz here, bingo. It really was boring. So objectively, it's just a boring thing to attend. And that was early in his campaign, but we were bored.
But as 2016 wore on, the media, they knew a cash cow when they saw one. They were looking at the ratings of his rallies and when they would have pundits on to discuss Donald Trump, and they would go up because he really was something different in politics in the United States. It was all about entertainment for him, but they were covering it like it was politics. While he was trying to entertain and get people talking in his own way, the same way he has before, trying to manipulate the tabloids in New York City, the media was just reporting on it like this is presidential politics. And he's been the focus of the media, ourselves included, for now 9 years. And now, with Kamala Harris into the race right now, it feels like the oxygen has run out for him a little bit. Like, I don't want to speak too soon, but just talking about where it is now, he kind of feels like he's boring. And I want to get into like his strategy of saying the shocking things to get people to talk about him. A couple weeks ago, he did the press conference in Mar-a-Lago, and he made that comparison between January 6th and MLK.
Right.
Obviously,
later unfold into Obama making a nationally televised dick joke. He could not have known that.
I know.
He could not have known that.
Well, you said this before. When they go high or when they go low, we go below the belt. We go literally below the belt. So this strategy, and you've seen in the last couple of weeks with the Harris campaign, like he was in Chicago before the convention and speaking to members of the press. It was what was it called? I can't even remember. Where he said he doesn't even know what Kamala Harris is. Is she black? Is she Indian? She just decided to be black. He's saying these things to be shocking and get people talking.
Right.
But it feels like people aren't like taking the bait as much. Like he's obviously doing this to be shocking and people aren't responding to it as much.
I agree. I do think the Democrats have had an extraordinarily like, I don't know, fortuitous few weeks in just their switching of candidates and just dominating the news. I do think that with a couple long months left before the election, this feeling could feel long ago by the time early November comes around. So that's the feeling I keep having. It's like, yes, he has this feeling that he's like, he's floundering, he's trying harder and harder to say the shocking thing. But I wonder if, you know, things can change really, really quickly. Like, I have a feeling he's going to focus on saying the election was stolen and get people super hyped up about that as it gets closer to the day that we're going to vote and try to steal some of this thunder back.
That's a good segue to what I want to talk about next, which was like, is it just that people are sick of it, or is it that has he lost a step here? Because what you're describing right now, that is a rerun. That's a sequel. It's the same thing over again. That's exactly what he did in 2020. Like, he can't come up with something new besides saying the election was stolen. Like what
are
there
any good sequels? Is there any sequel that was better than the first? Toy Story 3, people think was
Toy Story
really
3 is
great.
Fantastic. Cried my eyes out on a plane. Two
so
separate
is
times
there
I was
a
born.
Way that this is Trump's Toy Story 3 and he manages to break new ground before the election? I don't know. You're right. It's a replay. But I do think that there's just too long to go to imagine that this feeling will take us all the way through to the election. But is he boring right now? Is he floundering and like kind of failing to like be exciting right now? Yeah, he's not doing it. He seems to not have the stuff right now.
He's got to come up with something new for the election being stolen. Like even like his claims now, he's like going back to like the Hunter Biden laptop thing, because that was a news story this week about Mark Zuckerberg talking about the pressure he received to try and censor some content. And, you know, Twitter at the time, Twitter, now it's X. But Twitter at the time, they were told this is like misinformation, don't put it out there. Turns out it was really his laptop. Trump saying that was the rigging of the election, when that was not what he was saying before. He was saying that it was like millions of illegal votes cast. He's like kind of moving the goalposts on that. Like, what can he do in 2024 to make this seem more exciting? Is he going to have to say like aliens are the ones like rigging the election? What's going to be the
thing?
Don't
give him any ideas here, Jason. That's a pretty good idea. Although we did a little prank where we said that aliens had stolen the vote, that they beamed the votes up and back down or something like that. So we did beat him to it.
That was a weird. You're referring to, and we were talking about this the other day, right after it was in the December after the 2020 election. You were in Atlanta and I flew down there and we went to a Mike Pence rally and you had a sign that were like, aliens have stolen the vote. And we got kicked out of the rally. And then we drove through Florida, Georgia line, not the awesome Bro Country band, but the literally Florida, Georgia line. Who are we talking to? We talked to somebody at the DNC.
We would have loved to see that band.
But it's like, that is a different world. Those are like guns, Confederate flags, no stoplights for a very long time. We're in back roads. It was very, I didn't like
it. Yeah, we're talking about Valdosta, Georgia, I think.
That's where we ended up. But we had to drive from Savannah there, and it was not a fun drive.
You got the sense of how big this country is, how different that feels than a lot of places we normally see.
Okay, so Donald Trump, we talked about this earlier at some point, but I want to talk about his nicknames with Kamala Harris, because it's more proof that Donald Trump has lost his depth, is a little bit boring, or is just getting too old. He's getting too old for this shit. Like, he can't handle another presidential election. And like, when a presidential election for Donald Trump doesn't mean coming up with great policy, it means coming up with a great nickname and schoolyard taunt for your opponent. So,
right,
I'm gonna read you the five nicknames that he's come up with for Kamala Harris thus far, and I want to get your reaction on them. Okay, Crazy Kamala. That's number one.
Boring. Recycled.
Recycled. Who can you name the person who got that first?
No, but
crazy,
I know I've heard it.
Bernie Sanders. Crazy, okay. Bernie Sanders. Yeah,
he's got too many. He's got too many like adversaries. He's starting to have to recycle these.
He's got too much beef. It's like us at the DNC. Yeah. Too much beef. And also, I will say, maybe he wishes he didn't use it for Bernie, because Crazy Kamala, it's got the alliteration going. So
right. Is alliteration okay. Just the sound, or is it the letter? Does it, anyway? We don't have to spend too much.
I think it's got to be the sound, right?
The sound, right?
Right. But I'm not. You might be right. Okay, Laughing Kamala. Laughing, and that's Laffin.
Really boring. Record. Really boring, yeah. One.
I mean, they own this.
She has a slightly distinctive laugh, but it's also like you're trying to like make some fun of someone being joyful, and I don't think it lands. I mean, he tries to make people self-conscious, I think, but I don't think that one's going to work for her. I think she likes it, and people
I think it's partly like her team, and you know, her as well. She's the head of the team. They're owning it, which I think is smart. Like, they're owning it, and we saw at a merch stand at the DNC, outside Dempalooza at the DNC, wow. We saw a merch stand. Time. It looked like a Trump thing. There were tents set up.
Yeah.
And they had, it said MALA, M-A-L-A, like MAGA, and it said Make America Laugh Again. And it's like, oh, she's, they're owning it.
It was so weird to see a merch stand that looked so much like the merch stands that we see. The little tent, all the t-shirts on the hangers, all over. The person behind it, there were no guns, there were no Confederate flags, there was no, like, you know, 1776. Like, it was, like, so tame, so refreshingly normal. It was mostly positive stuff. But it, you know, in all other ways looked the same as a Trump merch stand, but just not as much like death and destruction themes.
Yeah. Trump and the grump. What rhymes with Trump that you could use for JD Vance? I don't know. Lump. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
you're trying to come up with a shirt idea.
I'm trying to make $1 million or at least $100,000.
Don the Con. It's been said before.
Yeah. But like, you know, there's Joe and the word that they use at the rallies to describe Kamala, and a lot of people buy them. Maybe there's something there too. Anyway, okay. Number three, Kamabla.
So Kamabla blah's law blog.
Great. What do you think? How do you rate it? Kamabla.
Do we know the intent behind it?
I'm assuming racism. I don't know. That's just
in some way.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Seems like a boring one. I thought maybe he just his like plump little thumbs hit the wrong button or something. But no, that one won't stick. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You need it. They have to strike at some sort of truth to stick around.
Right. I don't even get it. I don't. Kamabla.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. I mean, why is he doing it? Yeah, but he said it multiple times. Yeah. He did it a bunch. All right, so you don't like that one?
I don't like it. It's not going to stick. It doesn't make enough sense.
You
need a strain and a strand of truth for it to stick around.
Okay, Lion Kamala.
See, that is another recycle, and that one I know. That's Lion Ted.
For Ted Cruz.
The worst thing than a bad nickname is an already used nickname.
Yeah, I know. It just shows like lack of creativity and really just that you're maybe not up for the job of being president of the United States. Right.
You're going to have to be a little sharper than that to do the job.
Yes, yes. You're not going to get people to Pokemon Go to the polls if you don't have a good nickname.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now, why did you say that?
Because Hillary Clinton said that.
Did she say that?
You don't remember that? It's like a huge meme. She went, everyone's talking about Pokemon. You really don't remember this? This was like such a moment.
No.
She was like, everyone's talking about Pokemon Go. Well, I want you to Pokemon Go to the polls.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I want you to Pokemon Go, brat, to the demure polls.
Polls.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. So the final one, which is what Trump has landed on, at least for the last week or so, is Comrade Kamala. Comrade Kamala. I guess saying that she is a communist. What do you think about that one? Again, we've got the alliteration, if we count the alliteration, not the same first one.
Oh, boy.
Just the sound.
Yeah. Okay. Objectively, it's probably better than the other ones.
Okay.
But it's not good.
It's not good. It's not good.
It's not good. But at every rally, he says they're socialists, they're communists, it's a thing. It fits neatly into what he's trying to brand her as already. So I guess it's probably the best one, but it doesn't make you laugh. It's not going to make her feel like she has to second guess what she says.
Right. There's no, it's not like a taunt that like gets, it's going to get under your skin a little bit.
Like when he was calling Jeb low energy, it was like Jeb had to kind of get out of his zone of the way that he acts, the way that he is, to try and combat that. And I think that was a tough thing to do.
Yeah. Please and like clap. The Sleepy Joe one, Joe Biden was able to, I guess,
sleep through that?
I did that. Yeah. So, and it was it sleep, and he was in his basement anyway. So, Comrade Kamala, all right, 4 out of 10, maybe the best of the bunch, but really, truly, kind of sad to watch. It's kind of like Michael Jordan the last season on the Wizards, where you're like, it isn't the same guy. Looks the same. So Donald Trump, boring, totally lost his step. And then we've talked about this, but then he picks J.D. Vance when he thinks he's a lock to win. And of course, he picked a boring, very awkward person, not really turning things around as far as like, I guess he didn't seem stale there. He just had an assassination attempt. He thought that he was going to ride that wave all the way to November. But clearly, things are not working out the way he thought it was, and he picked such a boring, weird guy in J.D. Vance.
Yeah, there. If he had any hindsight from now, back to then, I'm certain he would have chosen someone else. I think he felt like he just wanted to reinforce the image he already had. Let's get this like MAGA politician who will do whatever I say, and I can carry us through to November. But things are so different now; he's got to be second guessing it, and I wonder. But it looks like keeps him up at night.
But it looks like Doug Burgum was like his number two, But like we don't know anything about Doug Burgum. Like don't even know his name. But we like had to research him before we went to the debate last year, being like, is there anything funny to do with this guy? We're like, nobody knows who this fucking guy is. Nobody cares. Nobody will care.
Right.
Like I don't think he was going to sway anything. And I think Marco Rubio, Little Marco, which was his nickname. Could get elected dog catcher. He's got big ears. I hate him. Which again, that was the first time people were talking about Donald Trump's dick size was Marco Rubio. So
right.
He was saying he had small hands, so he has a small dick. But he was number three on it. That's the only one I was like, at least he's got like a little charisma. Maybe that could have been.
A little charisma different. And also this kind of like, placating of the maybe some moderates who are nervous about voting for Trump, someone who's been around and been kind of like, steady. He could have brought a few more people into the fold. I don't think you get that with J.D. Vance.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think, DeVron? I'm going to put you on the spot right now. You're Donald Trump's campaign manager, okay? or somebody,
a lot of responsibility,
or you're just somebody who needs, who Donald Trump listens to and actually listens to. So maybe like you're just a voice in Donald Trump's head right now.
Right.
What would you, what advice would you give him? Sincere advice to turn his campaign around, to be less boring, or to at least try and win an election.
I think he has proven time and time again, he cannot change. So I think he continue to be himself, as terrible as that is, what himself is. I think he's got to keep swinging and hope that the tide changes. I think if everything can feel like it changed in a month, then certainly everything can feel like it changed in 2 months. I don't think he's ever benefited from trying to change. So I think he just needs to dig deeper, get shittier, make up more nicknames, just do his worst and see if he can come out the other side. I don't know what else he's capable of doing.
All these Democrats were like, oh, the assassination attempt was staged. It was this. Look at this. Like all those stupid, annoying people on Twitter.
Yeah.
We were all talking about how fucking dumb that is. Maybe, we've talked about this before, if he would have acted a little bit differently after that and not gotten back to his terrible self, maybe he could have coasted to
re-election. That was his opportunity. More moderate and actually changed, pivoted after that, we'd be having a different conversation. But he signaled to the country and to everyone around him that he just wasn't capable of doing that. He wasn't capable of seizing the opportunity. So that's why I say,
but DeBron, this is my
thing. You can be.
This is what I would do if I were the voice inside of his head. I would say, you gotta tell Secret Service to just chill out. I don't need you anymore. You guys just take a break, and like try and recreate that same moment and hope that like you don't get shot, you know, and have a big triumphant moment again.
Okay.
And then you can do kind of a restart, a soft restart.
Your plan feels like a risky plan. So
high risk, high reward, right? I don't know.
High risk, high reward. The odds of that working seem slimmer than my plan, but I'm not going to say,
Or you do the false flag operation. You do the false flag operation. You set it up. You do it in a soundstage. Hillary Clinton did it. We talked about it earlier. She did stuff on a soundstage, according to our sources. Like, all the stuff was staged. According to our sources, maybe this was staged. Yeah, yeah.
Everything. Like, you can do whatever you want.
Don't bullshit me. I ain't stupid.
That's not true either, is it?
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
That's a lie right there.
Bullshit, mama.
Okay, DeBron, are you ready for a moment of truth?
Oh, please, after all this.
Yes, please. Let's do it. This is a moment of truth. Donald Trump has made a career saying and doing shocking things to get into the news cycle. In the 80s and 90s, his relationships and affairs made the front pages of New York City tabloids. During Obama's terms, he created a racist lie about where Obama was born to become a Fox News star. And throughout his term as president, he would say and do crazy things to move the news cycle. But the act has gotten stale. People either aren't interested in his stupid nicknames, lies, and shocking comments, or he is too old and tired to come up with anything interesting. But one thing is for sure. Donald Trump is boring. And that, DeVram, is the truth.
Wow.
Wow.
It feels good to have been right all those years before, though. It feels right. It feels it's gratifying.
Little validation. You said it to Ted Cruz. Hey, how about this? Were we involved in like a space-time like rip or something
yes,
at that
go
point?
Go on.
The day before. Okay, so we called Donald Trump boring.
Right.
The very next day, maybe not even 24 hours later, maybe in the same day, 24-hour block, you got on stage, called Ted Cruz weird. Like, do we need to look back at things we were said 8 years ago in that 24-hour period? Because maybe we were like in tune to like a greater wavelength or something at that point. You know what I mean? Because all these things are true.
Yeah, right. Is there anything else we said, did at the time that could let us know what the future holds? We should probably go back.
We got into a big argument about beds, about who could sleep in a bed. I don't think that would help. We ate at, what is it called? What's that place called? 99?
Yeah. But we rated it at 52 out of 100. Yeah.
All right. We want to remind everybody you can support us on Hero Hero. HeroHero.co/TheGoodLiars for ad-free bonus episodes. Today, we're going to be talking about the DNC. Look, DeVram and I are kind of fucking star fuckers. Okay. We saw some fucking A-listers there at the DNC. We're going to talk about all the backstage happenings. But before we go, DeVram, I got to ask you something, and I hate putting you on the spot like this. Do you have any words of wisdom for the audience?
Make predictions, make proclamations, say things, and you know what? A few years later, you just might find that they become true. Confidently make statements. Just say the things, and some of them will be right. Boy, will you feel special.
All right. Thank you, DeVram. That truly is wise. Thank you for joining us on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time. Bye.